Hey, everybody, Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man here. And if you want to get your money's worth, then stay right here because you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. You know what? Remember one very important thing. Everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man. Yeah.
Oh, Brad, what have you done now?
Hello, everybody. That came in loud, didn't it? And welcome to the one and the only, the Brad Gilmore Show on Domelna. How's everybody doing? I hope you're having a great New Year's Day of all things. It is 2018 officially, which with every year that has passed since 2015, Back to the Future 2 only gets older. And the movie continues to be about the past and no longer about the future. I digress. That is another topic for another podcast. I hope everyone's doing great on this New Year's Day. It's crazy to see this year. I mean, 2017 felt like it was just here. We had a crazy 2017. I mean, one of the most wild years in entertainment. In politics, most definitely. We got a new president this year, and things have definitely been different, I should say. Whether that's different to you is good or different to you is bad, we can all agree it's been different. And there's definitely been an adjustment period to getting used to the way things are done nowadays via Twitter and whatnot. I'm not here to talk about any of that. I'm here for a multitude of reasons, but I think that I didn't do one of those year-end lists. I didn't do that because I didn't think that that so many people do those. I didn't think that I needed to do another one. I didn't think I needed to add to it. It's like everyone does a podcast. Why even do one anymore? I don't know, but I'm here. What I did want to do is this, is instead of doing year-end list of my top five this, my top three this, my number four this, my number 17 that, I thought I would just tell you a few of the things that I liked in 2017 and what I'm looking forward to in 2018. One thing I'm looking forward to, let me start off the bat in 2018, is the Brad Gilmore Show is back every single Monday. Every single Monday. I know I've toyed back and forth. A couple years ago, I said the show was done. I am back every Monday. Some of you are jumping for joy right now. Some of you are like, I thought that we finally got rid of him. But whatever reason, you are feeling some type of way. I'm glad that you're feeling it. So anyway, I'm back every Monday. I'm excited to announce that. And the other thing, though, is I got one of those whiteboards. One of those whiteboards, like you don't know what that is. And I have my goals on there. And I know we always do New Year's resolutions and no one ever sticks to them. They never get completed. They're just wastes of time. I believe I might be the first man in the history of the world who is going to live up to his New Year's resolutions. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to diet. But more importantly, I'm going to work harder than I ever worked in my entire life. And I'm going to make that money. Money's never been a motivating factor for me, but it is this year. I'm 25 years old, guys. I'm feeling old. I've been doing this stuff for, it feels like, forever. Time to make a little bit more money. But let me tell you about a couple of things that I liked in the year 2017. While I cough. I liked when we get to music. I had felt disconnected with music for a while. Right, I didn't feel like there was stuff, and this is like the old man thing. Like, I didn't feel like the music that was being put out there and being in the mainstream consciousness was made for me. I didn't like, and I don't want to say I don't like it, because if it's on, you can vibe to it, whatever. But these little whatever guys, you know, Lil Pump, Lil Yachty, Lil Uzi Vert. These guys aren't made for me. These aren't things that I would listen to. And I felt disconnected to the music because of that. But I want to credit a show and I'm sure a lot of people know where I'm going with this already. There was a show that came out this year that started that wasn't The Breakfast Club. It wasn't Hot 97. And shout out to all those guys. It was something different. You know, it was Everyday Struggle. Everyday Struggle saw Joe Budden, who many of you are familiar with, and DJ Academics. DJ Academics I had never heard of before, but apparently he had some kind of crazy following. So these two guys would get together, and they would talk with Nadeska Alexis, who was the moderator, and they would discuss different things from the day, from the week of hip-hop. And they did this thing 5 days a week, and it got, I don't know, like maybe a 300,000 hits a day, sometimes more. And I know Joe Budden had a podcast for a while, but I thought he had finally found his niche. He said he had retired from rapping, he was done with it, and now he was doing this show, this Everyday Struggle. And I loved it. And I, like I said, I wasn't paying attention like I did years prior. I wasn't paying attention to new hip-hop that much. I was like, you know what? I like what I like. I'm not going to like any of this other stuff. So why even bother? Why even bother keeping up to date with everything? So with Joe Budden's show, this Everyday Struggle, I really, like I said, I began to enjoy the news of the day in hip-hop again. Something that I hadn't done in a while. So Joe Budden comes out with Everyday Struggle. He and DJ Academics are going back and forth. And they give us, I mean, phenomenal moments. I mean, great, great hip-hop moments. Things that we always say as hip-hop fans, we want. Because, you know, hip-hop is a lot like wrestling. And I think that's why there's a lot of crossover between the two. Is a lot of the times, hip-hop is about moments. The moments that you can create. And I guess to take it to, like, there's always, you know, it's like when Drake came out with Back to Back and Charged Up. That was a moment in hip-hop. You know, that made you feel like you're like, oh, man, is that your girl's tour? Is that a world tour or your girl's tour? Which one is it? Come on, Meek. So we always look for moments when Beyonce dropped an album out of nowhere, when Kendrick dropped his album out of nowhere. Right? These are the things that we look forward to because they make us feel. This year, when Jay-Z dropped 444 out of nowhere, and you started seeing those billboards pop up. I don't know how people, by the way, to go back to 444, I don't know how people figured that out. I am always impressed by the internet. The internet always finds a way to figure things out and spoil it for everybody. And they did that. They did that this year with Jay-Z's 444. And they just figured it out. I don't know how. I digress. But Jay-Z drops and it's a moment, right? When Jay-Z came out with these interviews with Elliot Wilson and B-Dot from Rap Radar, it was a moment. So Joe Budden, understanding hip-hop fans love moments, decided to give us moments. And I think the one that we all remember is at the BET Awards, on the red carpet, Joe Budden interviews the Migos, Joe Budden and Academics and Nadeska. By the way, random thought, I think that week of shows they did from LA was filmed in the Collider Video Studios. Shout out to my guys, Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis, and all those guys, and John Rocha. I think that's where those were done. And I would love to know, I'm going to reach out. I would love to know if those guys had interactions with Joe Budden and what the vibe was like. Because during those tape shows leading up until the Migos, you had Vic Mensa come through and confront DJ Academics over something we didn't even know that was a beef, something to do with Chicago. I don't know much about it. But anyway, Joe Budden and the Migos. They start doing this interview, and you know, the Migos aren't, even though they are rappers and, you know, they are popular for the songs they write with the lyrics they put in them, they aren't the most eloquent of speaker, and I think they would even admit to that. And they were kind of not giving us much. And then DJ Academics. Oh, DJ Academics. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for asking Takeoff. I believe it's Takeoff. You know, how do you feel about being left off Bad and Bougie?
Oh my goodness gracious.
When he asked him that, Takeoff said, do I look like I'm Bad and Bougie? And Academics, by the way, Academics' emotions and actions, I believe, were all sincere from the moment he asked that question to the end of this whole altercation. And then DJ Academics goes, I'm sorry? And Takeoff again goes, do I look like I'm a little Bad and Bougie? And obviously, he's already mumbling. We don't know what he's saying, but it seems like he was saying, does it look like I was left off Bad and Bougie? We know that he wasn't left off Bad and Bougie, or he was left off Bad and Bougie, I should say, but does it look like I was left off Bad and Bougie? He had his blouse on with his chains and his money and his sunglasses and his hair was all whatever. Does it look like I was left off Bad and Bougie? His skin is popping. You can tell he moisturizes. He probably just got a mani-pedi done that day. And he was like, does it look like I was left off Bad and Bougie? Academics. And then Joe Budden gets frustrated. He gets frustrated with this whole conversation. So Joe Budden just decides, I'm over it. I'm done. I don't want to talk to you anymore. And he says, we got to wrap this thing up. And then the Migos go, wrap it up then. And then they, you know, Joe Budden drops the mic, walks off. Migos stand up. Security rushes in. All hell breaks loose. And it gave us one of the greatest moments in not hip hop, but pop culture for the year. Thanks to Joe Budden. Joe Budden also got it Lil Yachty. Why are you happy? You know, he just gave us moment after moment. This is my point. He gave us moment after moment of entertainment throughout the year. So it was about maybe a week ago, right? Maybe 2 weeks ago, right before Christmas break. I see that Joe Budden is not on Everyday Struggle. I see that DJ Who Kid took over the reins for the week. Now, I knew that Joe Budden was on Baby Watch, so I assumed, probably like everyone assumed, that Joe Budden, you know, took some paternity leave to, you know, get to see the birth of his child and spend time with it and spend time with the mother, his wife. And then you start hearing things like Joe Budden starts tweeting like, you know, stuff isn't all good. And then I read on Twitter like some rumor that Joe Budden has left Everyday Struggle. And I'm like, no, because, you know, Joe Budden always talked about it. And I thought it was just one of those things, you know, like when Jay Leno, you know, after they told him after Conan was going to replace him, he would make jokes for the next 5 years about, you know, NBC, they better hope I don't go next door to ABC, or they better pay me the money, or I'm walking, I'm leaving. And it was kind of a joke, even though there's a bit of truth to it, there was a joke. And we all knew it was going to work out with Jay, and what happened, right? So I thought that was what was going on with Joe Budden. I thought, oh, this is just posturing. He's, you know, probably entering some kind of contract negotiations where he's trying to get some leverage and making him think that he's going to walk, but he's not going to walk because this is, and I don't think that this is a diss or anything, this is the most relevant Joe Budden has ever been in his life. Even when Pump It Up was out, this is the most relevant he's ever been. Media Joe on 1000. So he does, you know, he's doing this kind of stuff on the show, so I just assumed that it was jokes and that they'd all work it out. Well, then, the next day, the Everyday Strug, at Everyday Strug, the Everyday Struggle Twitter account wishes Joe a great 2018 and acknowledges his departure from the show. And that's when I was like, oh, crap. This is legit. This is real. This is actually happening. Joe Budden has left the show, which really made me a fan, I'm not saying a fan of hip-hop again, but made me rediscover my love for the hip-hop news of the day, right? So this happens, and Joe Budden goes on his podcast, and he starts talking about how this conversation wouldn't be for everyone. This is for the creators. And he began to explain his situation. Now, his first example was something about him. They wouldn't let him smoke in the restroom. His co-hosts, whom I believe's names are Maul and Rory, I think. They kind of look at him like, what the hell are you talking about? But I felt him. He's saying, I'm talent. And when I'm talent, I can get away with more and people will be accommodating to me and to my normal habits because I'm talent. And that's not him being a dick or anything like that, or a prick, if you want the edited version. It's him saying, look, guys, I know what I'm worth. I'm bringing you a lot of entertainment. I'm bringing you a lot of eyeballs. I'm bringing you a lot of viewers. But more than anything, I'm bringing you a lot of moments. So if I choose to partake in puffing my cancer stick in the restroom, not out in the open, not on set, not in the offices, in the restroom, probably smoke it into a vent like he's in a hotel room and try not to get that extra cleaning charge. Let me do it. Because I'm bringing you money, man. And they wouldn't let him do it, right? Sounds like he also had issues where he, on the red carpet at the BET Awards, he needed security. They said, security's not in the budget, Joe. And then they realized quickly after the Vic Mensa issue, they needed security. So Joe and Complex seem to have contract negotiations for months. And Complex gave Joe their final offer. And Joe was like, hell no. And they couldn't come to an agreement. Complex didn't want to pay him any more. And Joe didn't want to take any less. So they were at an impasse. And Joe Budden said, all right, peace. I'm out of here. Done. I'm out. Bye. And he left. And you know what? Props to Joe Budden. Joe Budden knew what he was worth, and he did not allow them to tell them and to dictate what his value is to that show and their company. That takes a lot of balls. Most people, I think, would have said, you know what? This is the most relevant I've been in years. I'm making money talking for less than an hour a day, 4 days a week. And I'm getting millions of people hitting me up. I'm getting more listens to my podcast. And I am a voice, an important voice in the culture. Most people, that would have been enough for them. They'd have been cool with that. Done. I'm out. You know, I'll chill. Whatever you give me, you give me. But not Joe Budden. And I respect him for that. Because in 2018, we are, as creators, as musicians, as radio hosts, as television hosts, as podcasters, we hold the power. We are creating content. And the people behind, and all due respect to the people at Complex. Now, let me say this, actually, before I go on. I've had super limited interactions with Complex. The one contract negotiation, I'm not even trying to big myself up. I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. Complex reached out to me and they said, Brad, you're awesome. We think that you're great hosts. We want you to host our concert series in the state of Texas. We're going to start with Houston, Texas. Houston, Texas. We're having a concert in Houston, Texas. We want you to be the host. LaToya Luckett, Les, the Tauntauns, Orange Calderon, all going to be on the bill. You're going to be the host. I said, great. Sounds awesome. Jack Daniels is the sponsor. Complex is going to shoot it. We're going to put a video out on our YouTube channel, blah, blah, blah. At least that was my understanding. So they sent a contract over, or they sent some terms over, and I looked at it. They asked me, is there anything you want to take out, anything you want to add? I said, yeah, I don't like this. I like that, right? They said, no problem. Do you need anything when you get there? Do you need towels? Do you need water? Do you need only yellow Skittles? What's in your rider? I said, look, I'm not a diva. All I need is some bottled water, and I'll be good to go. They said, no problem. Then came to the thing of, well, how much do you want? And I said, oh man, how much do I want? Okay, so I thought about it. I thought about the amount of work. I thought about the promotion. I thought about this. I thought about that. And I said, okay, I want X. And I thought, you know what? That's a good number. Because here's the thing. When you don't have a manager or whatever, and you're or a lawyer, and you're in charge of your own everything, and you have to do these contract negotiations, it's awkward. Because one, you're trying to value yourself, but you're trying not to outprice yourself, and you're trying not to scare them away. And also, you're trying to make them think that you take yourself seriously enough to ask for a valid offer. So it's a lot of things that you have to consider when doing that, especially when you're representing yourself, like I said. Which, by the way, if anyone listening to this wants to represent me, email me at bradgilmore11@gmail.com. I'd be more than interested to hear your pitch and cut you in on this lucrative venture of mine. So anyway, I told them, hey, I want X. They came back and they said, you know what? We really think that you're valuable. We're going to double that. I was like, what? Actually, they more than doubled. They nearly tripled my rate. And I was like, wow, shout out to you, Complex. So I say all that, not to big myself up, but to say my dealings with Complex were extremely positive when it came to contract negotiations. Now, that was just for a singular event. I understand. But in my, you know, experience, they were easy to deal with. Maybe because I was easy to deal with. I can see Joe Budden not being the easiest guy. I think we can all agree on that to deal with. He seems like a guy who he knows what he wants. He knows who he is, and he's not going to change. He's not going to alter his opinion or ideas or anything for anybody. So, you know, they couldn't come to a deal. And Joe Budden left, and now he's doing his podcast. Now, I heard that the Complex News Channel lost a lot of subscribers, which is crazy. I still subscribe to Complex. They do other things aside from Everyday Struggle that I like. But I will be lying to myself if I didn't say a lot of the reason I was subscribed to that channel and checked for it every day was because of Joe Budden, DJ Academics, and Nadeska Alexis. I don't think Complex is 100% wrong in this situation either. I think Complex said, this is what we're paying Joe Budden. This is what we believe he's worth. If he doesn't think that that's a fair offer, we're going to let him walk. And you know what? It takes a lot of balls for Complex to let him walk because they definitely know what he meant to that company and what he meant to that brand. So both people, it took courage to make the decisions they made and to allow them to happen. And I just hope that Nadeska and DJ Academics don't struggle from it. DJ Academics said that he was going into contract negotiations starting in December. So I guess he's in the midst of them with Complex. You know, I hope that he works his situation out. I hope somehow, some way or another, Joe Budden and Academics do a show with each other and Nadeska do a show with each other somewhere down the road. I don't think that it's going to happen via Complex, but stranger things have happened. Once again, I reference the White House. But I want to say that Joe Budden was one of my favorite things in 2017. He was phenomenal in 2017, and I cannot wait to see what he does in 2018. Sticking on music. Jay-Z came out with the album 444. We didn't know that Jay was coming out with a new album this year, but there had been rumors after Lemonade by Beyonce dropped. Once Lemonade dropped, we heard rumors about Jay-Z having a response album. And I didn't know if this was a true statement. I thought that it might be. Maybe it's not a response album. Maybe he comes out with one record where he talks about, you know, what happened. You know, one song. And then kind of lets it alone. Maybe throws it out there like he did that Glory song when Blue was born. It seemed like on Life Events, he likes to drop one song, let it sit out there, and there you go. But Jay didn't really... So he did drop a... I guess it's a response album. But because he does talk about his infidelities to Beyonce, which is absolutely ridiculous. And I think cheating of any kind is atrocious. Jay-Z still remains my favorite rapper and one of my, I guess, idols, you could say. But cheating on somebody isn't cool, especially Beyonce. Come on, man. You out of your mind? It's Beyonce. You know, Beyonce, Jennifer Lopez, those are two people who should have never been cheated. And my girlfriend, Farrah. Three of the most beautiful women of the world and three women who never deserve to be cheated on. And I will never partake or make any of that happen. By the way, my girlfriend and I celebrate 4 years today. Ironic. So anyway, Jay-Z comes out with this album 444, and it was definitely a touchstone. It was a landmark for the year of 2017. Story of OJ came out, which was just this super impactful song. You had Family Feud, which he just dropped a video for. You had 444, the song where he talks about Beyonce. You had Kill Jay-Z, where he talks about Kanye. Thought it was Kumbaya, because you did Kumbaya. You gave him $20 million without even blinking. He gave you 20 minutes on stage. What the hell was he thinking? Kanye came clean about Beyonce. Family Feud record, nobody wins when the family feuds. You know, a lot of impactful songs on that album. And I believe at the Grammys, it's going to be recognized as not only, because I believe it's nominated for Best Rap Album and Album of the Year. And if it does not win Album of the Year, the Grammys, for me, you know, continue to illustrate a sense of unawareness of the impact of certain music. Because 444 will go down as an all-time great, not only Jay-Z album, an all-time great hip-hop album and moment. And I know a lot of people out there are like, well, what about Kendrick Lamar's Damn? Damn is cool. I like Damn. Duckworth, I like the songs on there. It's fun. It's not better than 444. Kendrick Lamar himself said, that was a masterclass by Jay-Z. Jay-Z has put out albums since 1996. 21 years. And he continues to remain relevant and continues to get better with age. I think 444, for me, it goes, this is my list. Blueprint, Reasonable Doubt, Black Album, 444, American Gangster. That's my top five. And if you notice, you know, three of his top five, you know, are more recent works. 444, American Gangster, more recent. He's had an album, but album between that was Kingdom Come, between that and Black Album. And then there was an album or two. There was one album between Blueprint and Black Album. So, you know, the second half of his career, you could argue, has been just as great as the first half of his career. The last 10 years, he's entered actually a whole nother region than he did in the 10 years prior. So I think 444 is the best, not only rap album, it's the best album that came out this year. And I'll debate anybody about it. But I think that album was so good, and people are like, oh, it's only 10 songs, man. There's only 10 songs. That is a perfect album length, 8 to 12. I don't want any more. I don't want any less. Any less is an EP. Any more is a compilation or a double album. Like Chris Brown, brother, you are wild for having 40 plus songs on an album. That's not an album. That's not an album. I refuse to believe that you had 40 plus quality records that you thought was a cohesive body of work. I refuse to believe you thought that. I don't know what you were thinking. If you're like, oh, if I have 40 something songs out there, I might get these streaming charts pumping. And I know people are game planning differently, but 444 was 10 songs, and it was better than any song Chris Brown has come out with ever out of those 40 some odd songs. And out of ever. I meant it. I said it. I admit it. I don't need to go back on it. I mean that. So that was Jay-Z. Greatest album of the year. Salute to Hove. Salute to the Jigga Man. Salute. I also thought 2017 was a good year for professional wrestling. You know, I, you know what? Yeah, I think I witnessed more professional wrestling in the year 2017 than I have in any other year. And that includes reality wrestling and WWE. I went to more WWE shows this year, I'm sure, than I ever have before. I went to the Royal Rumble in January in San Antonio at the Alamo Dome. Then I went to Monday Night Raw at the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas. Followed that by going to WWE No Mercy in Los Angeles, California at the Staples Center. And then I went back-to-back nights. I went to NXT TakeOver War Games and WWE Survivor Series at the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas. That's a lot of shows. You know, I mean, that's more shows than I've ever been to. Normally, like, I think for the past 5-6 years, I'll go to one WWE show when they're in town. And, you know, I'm pretty much good on that. And I'll watch everything else on TV. But I went to 5 shows. Wow, that's a lot of shows. Anyway, I saw a lot of great wrestling this year. And I just want to highlight 2 matches. Everyone's going to have their best of the year or what have you. But I want to highlight 2 in particular matches. And those matches are this. The first of them was in WWE. And that was one I saw live at the Alamo Dome Royal Rumble. It was for the WWE Championship. It saw the champion, AJ Styles, defending against the then 15-time WWE champion, John Cena. John Cena was going out to tie Ric Flair's record at the Royal Rumble. Could he do it? And he did. He won that 16th world title, and it was a great match. I think it was one of the, for me, it was the match of the year in WWE. I know some people say Tyler Bate and whatever the other guy's name is, Pete Dunne, I think. But that was not the match of the year. The match of the year was John Cena and AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble for the WWE Championship. John Cena has had a history of pretty good matches at the Royal Rumble. He had that one a couple of years ago with Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar for the title. He's very good when it comes to Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, so I guess that's his season. But we saw him win the championship only to lose it 2 weeks later and then end up in a mixed tag match at WrestleMania where he proposed to Nikki Bella, which, let's be honest, is a much bigger prize than the WWE Championship. I think that. Go John Cena. You're a winner at life. John Cena has been also in a crap ton of movies recently. He just came out with that Ferdinand movie. He was in Daddy's Home 2, which a lot of people didn't like Daddy's Home 2. I actually enjoyed. I found myself laughing. And I know someone said, you know, I can't remember. It was someone on Schmoes No or Collider said that John Cena, not John Cena, well, said John Cena was no good in the movie, which he wasn't great, but the movie I actually enjoyed. I think there's a particular scene where they're dealing with a thermostat. And I guess it resonated with me because that's how my family was. And all the dads were arguing over what temperature to put it on. And the girl wanted it on a certain temperature. And they were all sweating in their night clothes. It was funny to me. I guess because my father's like that. My family is like that. So that kind of resonated with me. But he was in Ferdinand. He was in Daddy's Home 2. He's going to be in a Bumblebee movie about Transformers. He's going to be in this movie called Blockers with Leslie Mann, which actually looks really funny about his daughter trying to get lucky on prom night. Excuse me. I didn't mean to clear my throat into the microphone. You have to pardon me for that one. But it was all funny. I enjoyed John Cena in the movies that he was in this year. Whatever. That's not my point. My point is AJ Styles and John Cena was a great, great match. Probably the match of the year for me in WWE. And to the people who think it's Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, it was a good match. This is going to sound bad. I think in order to have a match of the year candidate, a major championship has to be on the line. That's just me. I just think, or it has to be a big situation where the drama meets the moment. You know, there are thousands of great wrestling matches that happen every day in all kinds of companies, but very few that happen when the moment is special. You know, I go back to, even though it wasn't for the championship, It was The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania here in Houston. It was so special because we knew this was, you know, this was probably at the time, we knew Shawn Michaels didn't have too many more in him, and neither did The Undertaker. And they're in Undertaker's hometown. It's both of their home states. It's WrestleMania. They had this big, long, drawn-out feud that was great. And this was, this, it had all the makings. And that's why I think a lot of people regard it as one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time, if not the greatest match of all time, was because there are so many other extenuating circumstances. The venue, the arena, the story, the characters, how long they've, you know, been on television. There's meant so much. And I think for John Cena winning 16, that meant a lot, you know, and I think that had a lot to do with this, at least for me, it making my match of the year and seeing it in person. There's nothing like being there in person. If you've never been to a WWE event, especially something like one of the big four, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, or Survivor Series, you have to go. And I actually, I saw two of the big four this year in person, and it was, they were both great shows. They were just really good shows. And I think that you, the fact that it was at Royal Rumble in the Alamo Dome, first time they'd been there in 20 years, and it was the 16th win for John Cena, I think it just meant more. It just meant more than the Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne match, as great as it was. That the John Cena AJ Styles match meant more, and that's why it's my number one. The other match I want to talk to you about actually hasn't aired in 2017, but it was filmed in 2017, and it actually comes out this weekend on Fight TV, exclusively on Fight TV. We're going to have the Reality Wrestling Championship match, the Reality Wrestling Texas Championship match, and the Television Championship match all on one show exclusively on Fight TV. You can't get this one on YouTube, but there are some things in the works. I think I may be doing a pre-show on the Reality Wrestling YouTube channel before the event, the Fight TV exclusive event, and I think I'm going to be taking callers. So look to my social media at Brad Gilmore for that if you're interested. If not, who cares? But the match that I wanted to talk about was Geno versus Aiden Christiano. I'm not going to give away too many spoilers, but it was Lucha Extrema, which is a signature match of ours. And these two guys went above and beyond. And I think, I don't want to overhype it, but I think in my years that I've been in Reality Wrestling, that was the greatest match I've seen at Reality Wrestling ever. You know, and there's some that come close. You know, they were just, you know, they were good, but they weren't as good. This match was great. It was like, I put this match against John Cena and AJ Styles because it was at our biggest show, one of our biggest shows of the year, Christmas Chaos, and it was for the championship in the main event with two characters whose storyline has been so rich and so long-lasting. I mean, it lasted the entire year from like February to December. It's a long time. And those two guys really, really went out there and rocked it. And I cannot wait to see that match, to see the way Kevin Bernhardt, the director, put it together, to hear Matt and I's commentary over the match. It was one of those magical moments where you looked around, you're like, holy crap, this is special. This whole show is special. And I can't wait for people to check that one out. And that's going to be going down this Sunday, Fight TV exclusive event. Reality Wrestling. Three championship matches all on one show. I'm excited. Before I close out for my first show of 2018, it still sounds weird to say, I want to say I'm going to be back here every Monday. It's not going to just be me rambling on for 40 minutes to an hour at a time. I plan on having guests. I plan on breaking down major events. Like, I want to do, like, maybe even a live, you know what? Royal Rumble is around the corner. I might want to see if I can do either a live Rumble reaction, or I've wanted to do this now. I want to do live commentary one day over a major WWE match. You know, a lot of people, I mean, look, Matt Topolsky and I are probably, I mean, if not the, I won't say the, we're one of the top five broadcasting teams for professional wrestling in the country. More like top three. More like top two. And we're not two. But I would love to do some live commentary over WWE. I might do it for the Royal Rumble. I might do a live video during the Rumble, or I might just do a live reaction right after the Royal Rumble. I am doing something, though. I know this much. And then I plan on having guests on like we used to. There's a lot more things I'm interested in. There's a guy, Bill Carter, who I've been in contact with trying to get him on the show. A few other people. You know, we just had Million Dollar Man. Let's actually look back at some of the interviews that I had this year. This year I had some actually bigger name interviews than in years past. And everybody was cool because they were all from like different places. Let's see. The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, Hoodie Allen. We had Stevie Ray and Ronnie Shields, Joe Toplin, Jason David Frank from the Power Rangers. Joe Toplin was the writer for The Tonight Show and The Late Show with David Letterman and Jay Leno. John Rocha from Collider. Spike Ferriston, the man who wrote the Soup Nazi episode from Seinfeld. Matt Topolsky played Rotten Tomatoes game. I had Peter Melman, who was another Seinfeld writer and co-executive producer. Some of the best shows ever came out of Peter Melman's brain from Seinfeld. I broke down with Angel Corona and Stevie Ray. We talked about Mayweather McGregor. Also, Chingo Bling was on the show. Justin Roberts was on the show. Brandon Caldwell. Jedi Master was there. Jedi Master. When did we do Seven Talk? I don't remember that. Oh, I think I had to re-upload stuff. But also, Rex Andrews was on the show. Avery Davis was on the show. We had Eric Zala, who was one of the guys who did the adaptation of Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark. So many great shows this year. I really think there's some of our best interviews were from this year. But, you know, they were scattered about, so some people didn't know about them. That's why 2018, every single Monday, Fake Monday Mornings are back. I'm going to see if DJ Motai will be down to do a little music mix. Motai's all over the place. I don't know what the hell's going on with DJ Motai. But 2011's also back. The band's also back. So a lot of cool stuff's coming in 2018. Falling Back is on iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, SoundCloud, Bandcamp. Wherever you stream your music, Apple or Amazon Music, Google Music, if anyone uses those services, they're on there. Anywhere you can get streaming music, you can find 2011's new song, Falling Back, and or some of our old stuff. I think we're going to upload some of our old Chopped and Screwed stuff with OG Ron C, Candlestick Slim K on there. I think it'd be fun. I would enjoy it if no one else would. And a lot of cool stuff. I'm actually looking. I have a goal for 2018, speaking of the show. Right now I'm looking at a Christmas gift I got from my girlfriend. It is a framed 45 album that's in the shape of Texas with the Texas flag on it. And it is International Players Anthem, UGK and Outkast. The best rap song of all time, my favorite song of all time. And I want not only to get Bun B to sign this for me, I need to get Bun B finally on this show. That is my mission. That's one of my goals, is to interview Bun B on the show this year, face to face, not over the phone. I want to get it face to face. I'm going to make it happen. And when I do it, I'm going to ask him about International Players Anthem. And I'm going to ask him every single detail about the song, what's the story of the song, how did it come about, the concept, what did he think about when he heard Andre 3000's verse, Pimp C's verse, Big Boy's verse. So many things to ask Bun B about just that song, let alone the rest of his career, but just that song. I'm going to tweet Bun as soon as we get off this podcast. I got to set that up. And also make sure you check out all my other shows. In 2018, we're going to have season 5 of Back to the Future, the podcast. I'm going to get started on that probably this month, maybe end of next month or beginning of next month. Make sure you check out at the end of this month, we're back season 5. Also another season 5, season 5 of the Schmodown is coming back on Collider Video. And your boy Brad Gilmore is going to be rocking on the Schmodown rundown, available on Podcast One and SK Plus, YouTube, everywhere. A lot of stuff going on in 2018. Make sure you also check out Heated Conversations with myself and Booker T every Saturday on Sports Radio 610. And the podcast is available as soon as the show goes off the air. Check that out too on radio.com. Well, guys, it's 2018. I got to stop this podcast because I got to go see my girlfriend. We've been together 4 years. That's a pretty good accomplishment, if you ask me. Until next Monday, I'm your man, Brad Gilmore. I'll see you in the future. Peace.